And we don't want to stop the flow or quench the flow of the Spirit either. Amen? And God is favoring us because we are seeking His honor. You know, even if it costs us, you know, the opinions of others being opposed to us, not understanding, speaking things that they don't understand, you know, trying to address things that they don't understand. I don't understand it all. That's why He's God and I'm not. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You're not going to understand. You're not going to be able to put God in your theological box. But Jesus said, if you ask your Father for a loaf of bread, He's not going to give you a stone, right? He's going to give you what you're asking for. If we're seeking Him and to honor Him and to do His will, you're going to get Him, not a demon. See, there's a lot of believers that need to be delivered in the sense that they are oppressed and don't even realize it. They're bound up by the devil, don't even realize it. I'm not saying possessed, but oppressed. Jesus had cast them out. Amen? Sometimes you've got to cast them out of your mind. And we're going to get to that in a little bit here. But we've been talking about this. Now we can begin. You see, we just need to listen to what God is saying. Because when He speaks, it's life. I don't want to try to create or build anything in and of myself. I realize I don't have what it takes, and neither do you, right? To advance God's kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Yeah. So we recognize and we acknowledge our dependency upon God. But God is telling His people that there's a time to pray. Would you agree? Yes. And there's a time to move. Some people, that's all they want to do is just, God, do this, God, do this, God, do this. And God is saying, you go do it. I'd already told you to do it. I've given you My Spirit. He's with you. See, that's what changes things. When the church gets moving out of the box, out of the boat, and not everybody's going to understand that. The religious spirit is going to oppose that. You know, dressed up in the Sunday best. Sounding so spiritual. That's why Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. And right? With men's wisdom. And declaring to you the gospel. But He came in what? In the power of the Spirit. That your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It doesn't matter how eloquent of a speaker someone may be. The Pharisees were eloquent speakers. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, they said, man, no one spoke like this man. He speaks with authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees, right? Because Jesus was coming in power. The kingdom of heaven is among you. And when He ascended on high, He sent the Holy Spirit to who? You and me. To carry on the works that He began. We are the body of Christ. The head is Jesus, who's in the heavens. Amen? And we as His body are, if you will, that which reaches out into the earth realm. And takes authority and advances through the destroying of the devil's works. We want to destroy the works of the devil, don't we? You know, I say this often, but you cannot stop what God is doing. The devil is not going to stop this move right now. I'm telling you. God said, I'm going to do it, and the devil is not going to stop it. God is giving us divine protection. He has dispatched angels over this work, I'm telling you. And it's going to go forward. And those authorities of hell, the gates of hell, those authorities of hell, where the elders would meet at the gates of the city, he's saying they're not going to prevail against the church. God is in love with this city, with the people of this city. Would you say amen?
Amen.
He's in love with you. And he's not willing that anyone should perish. So when God says, I'm going to do a work, all we need to do is say, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? As long as we align with him, it's going to happen. What we're simply doing by faith is aligning ourselves with the will of God. Saying yes when he says yes. And no when he says no. And when we do that, heaven and earth meet. And there's a, if you will, heaven comes and impacts earth. I was going to say the word invade, but that's exactly what's happening. We are to invade the darkness because we are the light of the world. And the light of the world is Jesus Christ, who dwells in the heart of the believer by faith. So wherever we go, we're supposed to be making the devil go like this. Turn it off. And always, the darkness is not going to comprehend it. Isn't it true that there's times, I can tell personally, in times in our lives when we get to a place where, you know, you just kind of got stagnant in your life, in your walk. Anybody ever gotten stagnant before? Okay, let's be honest. Even when you're doing all the right things, sometimes it can happen. But you get to a place, and then all of a sudden, God shows up. Maybe after a long, dry season. But God shows up. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, the light comes on. You say, oh, yeah, that's right. Now I remember how good he is. You learn to appreciate something when you've had to wait a while. He's not an instant God. He's not a microwave God. There are certain things you need to wait on God for. But what waiting does is it enhances the blessing when it does come. What we need to do is simply be faithful. In season, out of season. Just be faithful. Keep going. Don't look back. Don't throw up your hands and say, nothing going to happen today. Get desperate for God, absolutely. And when you come together with God's people, man, come with expectancy. Change your glasses, right? Put on the ones that are glasses of faith. We're going to look through a new lens. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. We're in the Sermon on the Mount series. Jesus is talking about murder. Murder begins in the heart. Jesus. Jesus. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Take the things of the Lord and reveal them to us. Seal it into our hearts with an understanding. Transform us, Lord, that our lives will get in alignment with you, that we may know your heart. You have heard it said, verse 21, Matthew chapter 5, you have heard it said to those of old. Here he's not talking about the teaching of the law with its promises. How many know there were promises even in God's law? That if you do this, this will be the result. But he said, what he's saying is you have heard it said by the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. Okay? And how many know that Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it? And to give a fuller understanding of why God made the law in the first place. Jesus says, I've come to bring some light, some revelation, as to why this was, why I told you to do these things, why I had you do these things in the old time with the temple and all of the ritualism and the things that they needed to do. He's saying there's a reason for that. And Jesus came basically to reveal that all those things that they were told to do in times of old were to paint a picture to us of who He is. Not just about Him, but that they may have an understanding of who God is. There's one thing to know about Him, and there's another thing to know Him. Our desire as a church is to know Him and to make Him known. And so the law and the prophets were until John, and John was the last of that. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and He brought in a new covenant. Things had shifted. The baton had been passed. The old was fading away. The new was coming in. And Jesus came on the scene and He says, what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Aren't you glad we're living in that time? He says, you've heard it said of those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, listen to this, shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoa. Jesus didn't pull any punches. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. So you have judgment, council, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Do you see different degrees are being represented here? And we'll get to that. What He's saying is that you and I should never allow our anger to get to the place where it actually produces in our hearts murder. That's that seething, brooding bitterness against someone else. Because if you do not harness this anger that all of us have had to deal with, and some of you may be dealing with anger issues right now, it will lead to violence. Has anybody been a recipient of that, maybe? A causer of that? Anger can lead to emotional and physical abuse. This type of anger, this unharnessed anger, can bring mental anguish and eventually spiritual damage. Now, I don't know how many of you saw this. I can't even remember what the name of the show was, but it's like they do these documentaries, and it was just recently, I watched it about two teenage girls. And they were from Southern California. They were from upper middle class neighborhood. And these two girls are big into texting like young people are today. And there's this thing going on right now among the young people where they don't have to confront the person face to face. So they can fire off all kinds of either nice or nasty texts. Text to people. Did I say it? Texas? Is that a word? It's a state, but I don't know if it's a word. Bear with me. And so what happened is this boy comes into the scene. And this one girl falls head over heels in love with this boy, what she thought was love. And then, after a little while, this guy kind of, in a sense, blows her off. Not completely. He's keeping the string, you see, so he can reel her in when he wants her. He just wanted to use her. Come on, watch out, ladies. There's a lot of users out there. And they can lay it on thick for you. And then this other girl ends up having, if you will, an affair with him. All of it was outside of marriage, of course. There's a reason for marriage. And then, of course, the word got around that this guy is playing two people at one time. And so instead of them saying, this guy's a jerk, we need to dump him, they started attacking each other with text messages. Did anybody watch that? Yeah. Correct me if I get it wrong. And so they're texting on the phone, you know, like they have text messages today on the phone. It can just type it right into the phone and send it off. Well, it went from little nasty things to threats of violence to finally threats that I'm going to kill you. In other words, this anger thing began to build in these young ladies. And they were nice young ladies. They were achievers. They were doing good in school. But this boy got into the picture, and they allowed that thing to turn into like a bitterness. And then they started to really get nasty, plain nasty. They started going on Facebook. Oh, here we go again, Facebook. Once you fire stuff off on Facebook, you can never retrieve it again. It's there. Come on, you better watch what you put on Facebook. Even what you put on email, by the way, they can retrieve it. Am I right, Billy? And so, now it's all out there. The embarrassment of being played by this guy. But still, these girls, it was almost like a status symbol to have him, so they end up fighting over him. Comes to the point where, a long story short, this girl said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to kill you. Now, this was not a girl that was necessarily what you would say the killer type, you know. But you can see how anger, if left unchecked, can get to the point. How many know that the jails are full of people that lost control? And this girl comes, and she has some of her friends. And this other girl was really afraid of her. She didn't want to fight her. But the boyfriend, hey, the nice boyfriend, who is the gangbanger wannabe, tells her to carry a knife with her for protection. So here it is. They're going. They come after this girl. They come out of the car, and they charge her. And this girl, just in a panic, stabs this girl to death, protecting herself. The one girl dies, obviously, and the other one, her life is over, it's ruined. All because of anger that was let go and not dealt with. Jesus saying here, without a cause, I want to get into that in just a minute. God has called us to fulfill the law of love, amen? We are to love one another. Unless it is a righteous anger, an anger over sin and injustice. How many know that God Himself gets angry? What Jesus is saying here is self-control is important. But even beyond that, He's taking things to the thought life. He's going beyond it and saying, listen, self-control is good, but thought control is even more important. Because it's what you begin to entertain up here that will produce life, amen, or fruit in your life, whether life or death. So in 2 Corinthians 10, we read this the other night, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What is a stronghold? That is a place of security for the devil. Usually because we have been sympathetic towards sin or even anger. And it says to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Everybody say thought. Into captivity. To the obedience of Christ. Three through five. But Jesus said something here without a cause. Now, I was thinking on this, and I believe it's talking about this rash, hasty anger where no offense has really been given or intended. I want you to take a look at something that's happening in the news right now, in your mind, if you will, of the rebellions that are taking place in the Middle East. I'm not saying that these leaders were all just in what they've been doing. But I want to suggest to you that a lot of those people that have gone to the place where they were just waving a few flags and signs have gone to the place where now people are dying in the streets. And many of those people didn't really have an understanding of what really is going on. They became angry because they entertained gossip. They entertained someone saying something about somebody that so-and-so did to so-and-so. And after a while, they begin to believe it. And if you begin to believe certain things, guess what? It can produce a fruit in your life. It can produce death. To the point where one day they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," as Jesus came into Jerusalem, you remember? And the next day they're saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," because of the crowd mentality. I watched a little something about high school. Anybody been to high school? Somebody in high school? It was about bullying. Now, bullying is no new thing. But they were showing by hidden camera how young people were acting about the one bully who would come in and bully another boy, for example. And the other ones who were afraid of him thought, the only way to get this guy off my back is to join in. And what happens is people become intimidated and controlled. If you will, it's a form of control or witchcraft, a spirit of witchcraft, that comes on people, and they end up doing things that they would not normally do. Who would ever thought that these people in Germany, who one day were walking down the street, enjoying one another's fellowship, going to the stores, probably eating and drinking with the Jewish people, that the German people one day would end up coming to a place where they hated the Jewish people to the degree where they had no problem burning them in an oven? Anger without a cause, without a just cause. God is a God of justice. And in Psalm 7 and verse 11, it says, God is a just judge. And God is angry with the wicked every day. That's a righteous indignation. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. It doesn't say, don't be angry. It says, but in your anger, don't allow it to get into a place where you sin. And he says, do not let the sun go down in your wrath. In other words, deal with it right away. What is Jesus saying here? Deal with these things while they're in their infant state, before it grows up and it defiles many. It's amazing how many even good Christians, come on, can get caught up in the gossip and start to have opinions formed about somebody without ever knowing all the facts. There may not be any fact to it. And the media does a good job at crucifying people's character, doesn't it? You're guilty until proven innocent. Angry without a cause. Wow. And then in verse 22, Jesus says to this, the first one he's saying is, whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Now, the council was the Sanhedrin. He was relating things to the world that they understood. That was made up of these 72 judges, and the high priest was the president. And these 72 members were made up mainly of chief priests or chief priests who had retired, and elders of the people representing them, the Sanhedrin. And such comments, you know, such as Raca really mean worthless, empty one, or stupid. How many know that God really hates that kind of speech? When you call somebody an idiot, you call them stupid. Wow. Jesus said it, not me. Because one who uses such language is not walking in love. It's not walking in the law of love. And this kind of language, folks, it's highly offensive to God. Be very careful what you allow to come out of your mouth. You do not want to offend the Lord. Are you with me? Guys, if you got a problem with your language, you better clean it up. You better clean it up, because there's a higher power at work here. And then he said, whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. And that word hellfire is Gehenna, which was this garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. And I did some studying on that, and Gehenna was where they would have a continual fire burning, and they would take carcasses and corpses and burn them, and with all the filth of the city would be thrown into this place, and it was full of disease, and the stench of the smoke that constantly ascended up would come in the nostrils of the people when the wind would change. And it was a terrible sight and a terrible place for anybody to go to. And Jesus is saying that this is what hell is going to be like. He's trying to use a natural illustration to teach us of a spiritual principle that hell is an eternal fire where the worm dies not and the flame is not quenched. And he's saying that if you take the liberty, in the sense what he's saying, if you tell people to go to hell, be careful, you might end up there. I used to cringe, even when I was in the world, when somebody would tell somebody to go to hell. I don't know, there was just something like really bad about that. But he's not only saying that. What that word is, is where we get the word moron today. If you call somebody a moron, like you're a complete empty head, you're useless or worthless, he says you're in danger of hellfire. What we see are how things progressively can get worse if we are not careful about the thoughts that we entertain. How many know with those young ladies it began with thoughts of jealousy, obviously? Powerful. Jealousy is very powerful. Been many people killed over, amen? Over a love affair. And so God is telling us that we need to protect ourselves, and you need to guard your heart. You need to guard what you're listening to, what kind of voices you're entertaining. And the best way to put out a fire is to quit feeding it. If that girl had just finally said, well, this guy's a bozo, he's cheated on me anyways, and said, I'm done with it, he's all yours, it could have ended right there. Of course, she shouldn't have wished him on anybody, right? But you see how things so quickly spin out of control. And be very careful what you say. We are to be people of the light. We are to speak that which edifies, that which builds up, that which encourages. Amen? If a brother or sister is caught in a fault, you who are spiritual, you who have the right heart with God, you go to them considering yourself, amen, and you try to bring reconciliation. And then Jesus goes on to say, in the same note here where he's talking about offense, he's talking about offensive language and anger that gets out of control. He begins to put it into relationships. How many know that our relationships on earth affect our relationship with our Father in heaven? Very much so. And so he said, therefore, in verse 23, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Can I suggest to you today that there are many people that are trying to bring a gift to God, whether it be thanksgiving and praise or doing something, doing good works? How many know that God likes good works too? It's okay. We're called to good works. But instead of dealing with the issue of the heart, they're trying to put a Band-Aid on things by doing things. I've seen people with their hands, not here, thank God, but with their hands raised and just praising the Lord and maybe even speaking in tongues more than anybody else around them. And then a few minutes later, they can just completely slander somebody. You know what I'm saying? Slamming them with your mouth. There's something wrong with that picture. And what he's saying here is you need to first deal with that, the issue of your heart, before you come and bring anything before God. Because God's saying, you need to forgive your brother. You need to do everything you can to have peace with that brother. Now, it's not always possible. But as long as you make the effort, okay, to patch things up, and you do yourself a favor, and you say, I forgive you, I release you, you owe me nothing, I'm going to bless you, I'm not going to curse you. When you do that, then you can come and God will say, well done. And you offer your gift and God accepts your gift. And you know what? When God is accepting your gift, He's always a He's always a bountiful Father. And if you walk in His ways, folks, it doesn't mean that life's always going to be easy, but it does mean that you're going to have His favor. And it does mean that you're going to be His son and His daughter, and He's going to bless your life. And when you offer a gift with a pure heart, God will accept it as a sweet fragrance, an offering, amen, of thanksgiving from the heart, offering of praise out of a pure heart. It comes up before the Father as an incense into the throne. Amen. The Father inhales our worship and does what? Exhales His presence. Ah. Sometimes the reason why people are stagnant and stale and just can't get a breakthrough is because they are not dealing with the issues of their heart. They will not confront those issues of the heart. When the Lord, the Holy Spirit, begins to convict us of something, I have always found it wise to listen. Deal with it. If it's unforgiveness, get it off you, get it out of you right away. If you get offended by somebody, don't let that thing fester and eat you up, because what will happen is you'll end up becoming a murderer in your heart. And in some cases, that murder in the heart becomes an action that produces death, literal death. Forgiveness. And the reason why we forgive is because God so loved the world that He gave Jesus for us while we were enemies, while we were in opposition to God. Because He loved us that much, He gave His Son for me. I offended Him. I broke His heart. And God loved me. And He gave Jesus for me. And that's why I can forgive others now. If He so loved me and showed me such grace, such mercy, who am I to not do the same for my brother and sister? Amen? I don't know why I looked at you guys when I said that, but no, I'm just... We want to have a clean heart. Amen? A clean conscience, a clear conscience. So that there will be no hindrance in what God's going to do in and through us. We want to be vessels of honor. We want to be purified of that which is hindering. We want to bear fruit. If there's contamination in the sap, amen? If there's a fly in the ointment, it causes a stench. We want pure ointment, amen? We don't want to taint what God wants to do in us by allowing anger, by allowing unjust anger. Amen? And to allow that thing to seethe in us until we become a bitter person. And then something else grows up that people don't like. You may not even know it yourself, but people around you see it. People around you recognize this person has bitterness. It breaks my heart because I've known people who we've talked to about this and prayed over them, and under the anointing have spoke to them and says, you've got to forgive. You've got to release people. And they don't do that. And they become an angry, bitter, ugly dispositioned person who doesn't help anybody but actually poisons the atmosphere that they inhabit. We don't want to ever go there. We want to be life to this world. Amen? As we have a pure heart and we are filled with the power and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Then the world will see the reality that Jesus is alive, that God is love, God is good. And I want to eat some of that fruit. Yes, Jesus. We love you and thank you for today's message. You're so faithful.